Good afternoon, everybody. And like Elaine said, it's an absolute privilege to get the opportunity to stand and talk to you about my work anyway today. I started working voluntarily in St. Mochta's Parish in about 2000. And for about 6 or 7 years, I worked with liturgy, worked with family mass and all of that. And then we had a change of priest. And my name was passed on as being, she's good for doing things and getting masses organised and getting people organised and all of that. So Father John then came to me when he arrived, and we continued on for another 18 months. And then he invited me to come forward and work for the parish as a pastoral worker. Now, while I was doing the work, I didn't realise I was actually a pastoral worker, if you like. So it was a great opportunity, and I absolutely embraced it with open arms, and I love the job that I'm doing, which is a great thing to say from the outset. Our parish has grown, as you can see from 600 houses in 1992 to now 6,000. So the Celtic Tiger was very good to us. Our numbers have grown. We went from one two-stream Catholic school to 2 four-stream plus a VEC school in the last 3 or 4 years. And we have 2 secondary schools now as well. Most of my work so far would be, I was mainly taken on to coordinate the home school and parish of the sacramental programme, but it has blossomed out of that into many different things, even though that would still be my core work. So working, when I started with Father John as a pastoral worker, we identified some of the challenges that we had in the parish with regard to sacramental preparation. And some of it, as you all know, it's like event management in some cases, because you're dealing for massive numbers, but very small reward, or very small numbers that stay on with you in the long term. So I'm going to go through some of this on the notion that this is where we started with the challenges and the objectives, and I'd say how they worked or didn't work, and where we are with current challenges at the moment. And in doing that in a parish, the relationship of dealing with parish priest, of dealing with pastoral council, of dealing with lay people, and build on the relationship and how I dealt with some of that. As we're all aware, the sacramental challenges that we identified was that the programmes for confirmation communion were very school-based. So the weaknesses out of that was that it was separated from our parish. Both of our schools are at the north and south end of our parish, or east and west, actually, of our parish. So there was very little connection between the two schools or either school with our parish. So that was a huge challenge for us. We find the parental commitment is very weak. And also ownership of the confirmation candidates, we found they went through it in school. Their parents brought them. But did they actually own what they were doing? So this is one of the things that we felt we could work with. We found that the strengths in all of this was that there was great faith amongst people, that there was huge goodwill, and more importantly, there was a great need to belong. Even though some families weren't going to come regularly, they still felt, this is my parish and this is where I want my children to grow up and experience. So the objectives out of that was to build a three-way partnership between homeschool and family, develop parental responsibility, build candidate ownership and responsibility, and to create opportunity for catechesis wherever we could over the period of the preparation programme. To emphasise that first and foremost, this is a parish celebration. And the programmes that Elaine has spoken about, unfortunately or fortunately, we adapted some of those programmes, but our church only takes 320 people. At a squeeze, that's at an absolute squeeze. So we couldn't have all of the classes coming with parents and grandparents and extended family one Sunday a month. So we had to find our way of getting people to be in church through the year while the candidates were preparing for the sacraments. And I'll talk about that again in a second. So developing the parental responsibility. Out of our confirmation programme, we created parent and child homework. So the idea of this was that it would be taken out of the school a little bit, but put back into the hands of the parents to do with their children, to open up the faith discussion between parents and children and parents, child and sponsor. So we developed three out of the three things that all of the kids do: the letter of request, choosing a sponsor and choosing a candidate. So and the letter of request, the first year we introduced this, I remember standing up at the parents' preparation meeting and we announced that parents were going to have to do a little homework with their children. Well, it didn't go down well, as you can imagine. There was stuttering and sighs of exasperation. Why do we have to do this? They didn't do this last year. But anyway, they got over it, they challenged themselves, and they all managed to write the letter of request with their kids. We gave them resources in which to do it. We told them what to include in it. All they had to do was really put it together with the child. And the child then brings that on the night of enrolment, and they process in at the very beginning, and they bring forward their letter of request. How that came about was the first year I was working on the programme. I was really looking forward to getting these letters of request through the school and the service of enrolment. And to my absolute disappointment, when we opened the letters, everybody had photocopied the same letter and rolled it up in a scroll and put a ribbon on it. So I was devastated because I had great plans in my head for using quotes from the letters for the next preparation meeting. So that was a non-entity for that year. So I thought, why? And as a parent who has put two kids through communion and confirmation and they're now in their teens in secondary school, there has to be a different way of doing this. So we said, we took it from the teachers and we gave it to the parents. So immediately it changed the perspective that it's the parents coming forward to the parish looking for confirmation. It wasn't something that now traditionally was happening in sixth class. So something as simple as that has worked very, very effectively. So out of that one exercise, the choosing of the sponsor and choosing of the confirmation name, we have a template. One side of it is information for the parents on choosing the sponsor or name, and the other side of it is an exercise that the kids have to do, go research their name. They have to write their own prayer to their saint. They have to identify qualities of that saint that they like. Choosing the sponsor, they have to interview their sponsor. So this created a great buzz between the kids when you go in to talk to them in the classrooms about, you know, give them hell. You want to employ them as your sponsor. So get all the details out of them. Work them over to get what information you need to fill this sheet. So all of this comes back and it's built into their scrapbook. But I have to say, parents have come back to us afterwards in the last three, we've had this in now for 3 years, and they've come back and said that candidates have taken ownership. The kids have taken ownership through these three pieces. All of them have to be signed by parent and candidate. The parents are encouraged at each of our preparation meetings, we give them the resources to work with the kids in doing that. So I have the templates. If anybody wants them, you can have them. Our candidates, because we couldn't have them coming on one particular Sunday of the month, we have set a rota from about October until June for communion and confirmation kids. They get the rota in October. They know the Sunday they're on between that and the following end of June. So they take part actively in Mass, and they can be involved in our children's liturgy, in actually helping the children out of children's liturgy. They can be presenting a gift at the offertory. They can be stewarding as they come into church. And they're welcomed. We have our pastoral council do stewarding at the beginning of Mass, and they're welcomed this week as children of the preparation programmes. And this links into our parish knowing that the kids that we actually have for preparation. Building candidate ownership, I've talked about that with the three exercises, the active involvement during the year round. At the enrolment service, we invite them forward to sign a commitment contract, and it's part of the service. And they sign that they will prepare properly, saying their prayer by personal prayer, by being at Mass on Sundays, by helping friends and family, and by learning properly for their confirmation, learning about what confirmation really is during the year, and they have to sign a contract. And you should see those kids signing their contract. They write so neatly, and they put such effort into all of it. It's fantastic. The other part we had in our parish was integrating, because our schools were opposite ends of the parish and there was no connection between the two schools, so they were seen as St. Patrick's and St. Mochta's. And our parish was isolated from the two of them. So we bring them together in the parish centre now, and each school runs a sports day or some other day during the year where all the kids from sixth class come together. So that has created a great buzz between the kids as well, and they're getting to know other children. Most of these will be going to the same secondary school, so they already now have familiar faces if they don't end up with somebody out of their own class in school. The third was creating opportunity for catechesis. And again, we have all our preparation meetings we use for catechesis. The homework for communion, which is the prayer space with the candle, we do that, we've that as well. When they take part actively each on one of the Sundays during the year, we have a practice at 5 o'clock on Friday evening. So we've turned that into a little liturgy. And the practice is really to make the kids comfortable about what they have to do if they have to read, if they have to bring forward a gift, how they do it, and we explain all of it to them. We open that little liturgy with a prayer. We give them a tour of the church. We explain all the different areas of the church to them. And the parents wait on with this because it only takes about 20 minutes, and it's run by our children's liturgy team. It has created a great opportunity for the kids and parents to learn about just the different elements of the church and about going forward to bring forward a gift or walking up to how to do it reverently and respectively when they come to Mass next day. So that was how out of different little pieces, we created opportunities for catechesis of parents. Our programmes was to reinforce that, first and foremost, this wasn't just a day out with a bouncy castle or whatever it is. This is a parish celebration. Our registration now, we've over 3 years moved the registration of communion confirmation into our parish, finally. So they're not registering through the school. And that has been a big step and created a good bit of work for myself this year, but it was worth every bit of it. It brought people down to our offices that had never stood in our offices or church since their children were baptised. The preparation meetings is before we had opened our parish centre, which I'll talk about today, was absolutely key to the whole parish coming together. We just have it over just about 4 years now. All the meetings were held in either school. So that was disastrous as far as we were concerned. So now the two schools come together for the preparation meetings. And we also bring candidates along to some of the meetings because we use them as a way of bringing the candidates together again. On one night they meet their faith friends. And you might say, well, some of us don't have a parish centre, but you have a church that could be used for people congregating in. We've doubled on our parish centre and our church on some occasions to have the parents meeting in the church and the children gathering in the parish centre. And they're great spaces, I know they're sacred spaces, but it's all for the work of God and for the work of the gospel at the end of the day. Now, I have a piece here, I'm not sure. It's about, we've developed our ministries on. In 4 years, we've increased our numbers of volunteers from 90 to just over 300. And this, it has taken work and it has taken nurturing. But just, I said it included in, just to, because I know it's so difficult to get volunteers. Our children's liturgy story. When I was doing family mass, we had four people helping out with the family mass, and it was run every week. And every week, we struggled to have at least three of us there, two or three of us there. And it got to the point that some of us were there every single Sunday, 12 o'clock mass, when sometimes you want to do stuff with your family or whatever and you prefer to go to 8:30 and all of that. So over a period of about 2 years, we increased that very slowly to 12. And at the end of July, our parish centre was due to open in the following September. And at the end of that July, we had our final meeting of the family mass group. And we asked them to go out, like the disciples, and at least bring one person each back for starting off the proper children's liturgy that would happen in the centre in starting in October. And we had 24 team members for children's liturgy in September. So if you give people the responsibility to go off and get other people involved, they will bring friends, they will bring family members or whoever who have an interest in doing it, and that worked for us. Our Faith Friends story, we run a Faith Friends program over 4 weeks for the confirmation kids. And this, building the team for this again, we needed 28, we wanted youngish people, not necessarily young. We started with, say, fifth year and leaving cert upwards. And basically what we did was we announced it one Sunday and we said, look, we're going to be taking names the following Sunday. So I stood outside the church with a clipboard and pen while Father John greeted people at the door and said, would you be interested in doing this? Talk to Mary. And he sent over. And in 2 weeks, we had 27 people. So it's the only way is face-to-face or inviting your parishioners to bring people in. Strike while the going's good. If somebody suggests something to you, say, I like that idea, but if it's too busy on a Sunday at Mass to talk to people about stuff, I always say, look, can I have your number and I'll ring you during the week and I'll talk to you about it. You have their contact detail to go back to them again whenever you have the time to do it. Because you have so many people with good ideas, with creative ideas, with thoughts about how things could go, and it's only in that minute outside Mass that you have the time to actually develop a relationship with them. So from that point of view, it's important to strike while the going's good. Get the contact details, follow up with a call. But also, when you do take people on, and I know Father Harry talked a little bit about this, is that when you do get people in, you have got to provide the training and resources for them. You can't say to them, you go off there now and become a minister of the Eucharist. They haven't a clue where to start. They watch it every single week, but they haven't a clue where to start. So we would provide training for people. And then when you get people up and running at a particular job, then give them the encouragement to take on the role to train those people into doing what you want to do, whatever ministry it is. Commissioning, we have commissioning ceremonies constantly at Advent. It gives people a sense of belonging in the parish. It gives people a sense of pride to have been asked, to have been chosen to do a particular ministry in the parish. And it highlights the importance of lay ministry. And that's where the future is going. I know, talking about all this, you say, where am I going to get the energy to do all of this? And Father Harry talked about energy and having the energy to do it. You're the youngest looking diocese I've ever seen, I have to say. The youngest priest in our deanery is Father John, and he is hitting a significant 50 this summer, and he's the youngest. But having the energy, you need to just organise people to organise people, and it's a pyramid effect, and it does work. In the future, I just got to bypass that one actually. Our current challenges as we see them is that is holding on to what we have and keeping it going. And that takes huge energy after building it up. We're 4 years in into doing all of this. Faith development is our big challenge at the moment in getting people to learn a little bit more about their faith. But what we're finding is that we've done 2 years of trying to run faith development programs, and we're getting the same dedicated 25, 30 people all the time. People come to Mass and then they want to go and have lunch. And they sit through Mass, but they're there. So what we've done in the last year is we've organised guest speakers to come once a month to speak about some element of the Mass, and generally that has been through the Congress. And that has worked fantastically. A, it gives you a rest one Saturday evening or Sunday, and B, it's a new voice. It gives you a little rest from preparing a homily, but it gives to the people, the congregation, it's a new voice and just a different way of hearing something. And it has worked very effectively, and it creates a great interest in people each time we do it. So we've been doing it now for about 6 months, and it's just working. One of the things we find ourselves, we had our pastor council meeting last night, and we find ourselves that we're living inwards in our parish. And Father Harry has talked about this. We have to start getting outwards into our community and into the homes, if you like, of people. And that is now becoming, it's gone onto our agenda last night as something that we are going to address and look at going out. And one of the ways we feel that we can go out is to go out and just call to people's houses and say, look, we're your local parish team. We're here. Here's a list of all of the groups we have in our parish that can support you, whether it's for bereavement, for baby and toddler, active retirement, whatever it is. And this is some of the ways we can help you to do that. And all of these support groups are what people really want. And by calling to their door, you just don't know what chord you might strike with them that you could see them in the church the following week. We see our current strengths as being the goodwill still of people, absolutely amazing. People's faith, generosity and willingness. our parish centre has become the hub of our parish. Every meeting before this was held in Father John's dining room. So, and the office was in a cupboard in the dining room. So all of that is gone. He gets to have dinner in peace now. Parish, as I said, we've built up our parish ministry. All of this takes massive energy and persistence. But I think more than anything, it's leadership. You're not expected to do everything as a priest. You're expected to be there to care for the pastoral part of the parish, as I am as a pastoral worker. Working with Father John has been a fantastic experience. Now, we've had a great working relationship since we got on. We haven't fought, but we have had our discussions. And it's not about me winning or him winning. It's about both of us doing what's good for our parish. And I know of another situation. I had a friend who was a pastoral worker in a parish who had a similar situation with her parish priest. They did phenomenal work in the parish. The place was thriving and vibrant and living parish. And a new priest came in, and within a year, she nearly had a nervous breakdown and she left because he really wasn't interested in it. He had no interest. He left her sitting in an office and just let her get on with what she wanted to do. He did not speak to her for a year. Now, I don't know his reasons for doing that, and I don't blame him. I don't blame her. And it doesn't have to be a him and a her. It could be two hims. But it's a difficult thing for a parish priest. You've come through years of leading your parishioners, controlling finance, controlling everything that's happening in your parish, and to actually have to start depending on lay people and letting some of it go and letting other people take responsibility for it is your first major step, because it is a huge one. However, the benefits from it is, as you can see what I've talked about here, works and doesn't work or whatever, the benefits is that I can go off and do all the running around and coordinate people and do all of the stuff that could take hours to do. You can go and deal with your people in a pastoral capacity, in a spiritual capacity, which is where what your job is. I'm sorry, I'm probably going on and on. The other part about the whole parish thing is we all talk about the challenges of sacramental preparation and all of that kind of thing. If we recognise one small part of it as a challenge and think about it and reflect on it and find a solution, like we found, we're trying to get faith back into the home in some small way by the exercises. If you recognise it, you will find a solution to address it. You can't do it in a huge big picture. You have to break it down into little bits. And amongst all of this, our biggest strength has to be the Holy Spirit and our gratitude to the Holy Spirit, because our parish is vibrant, it's growing. We're holding on to our youth. I was talking to somebody at the break, and she was saying we had 6 young people that went to WID last year. They were in their late teens, early 20s. Before they went, we got them to get up and stand and talk about their expectations of World Youth Day and what they expected and why they were going and all of that. But we also got them, when they came back, to come and speak at all of the masses and tell everybody what experience they had. The parishioners, the older generation, were absolutely blown away with the enthusiasm, with the way they had been, the experience they had from their heart really came through. And I can only encourage that, as Elaine said, youth attracts youth, and there's no doubt about that. So I'm sorry I took so long on that. And all I can say is have courage to let some of it go and let the lay people relieve some of your stress, and you'll have more energy. Okay? Thank you.